We are live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City, and we're in for a short and shocking Saturday matinee, Elektra by Richard Strauss, led by the Met's future music director, Maestro Yannick Nezet-Séguin. Soprano Christine Gerke stars in the title role of the revenge-obsessed princess. Soprano Elsa Vandenhaver is Elektra's sister, Chrysotomus, and mezzo-soprano Michaela Schuster makes her network broadcast debut as their tormented mother, Clytemnestra. They're joined by Mikhail Petrenko and J. Hunter Morris in this searing drama. Stay with us.
And we'll rejoin New York in a moment after their short advertising break. The Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is supported by Toll Brothers, the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and broadcast here through an arrangement with the European Broadcasting Union. And now let's return to New York.
The score of Strauss's Elektra is almost as notorious as the blood-soaked family it depicts. It's especially challenging for the conductor leading the massive orchestra and the soprano singing the title role. Christine Gerke, our Elektra, revels in it.
There's so much in this role. There are so many different directions you can go with the text, with all of the emotions, with the relationships. They have moments where they are screaming at each other. And then they have moments where they are so tender, and you can see how desperately each of them wants the other to understand what they are trying to explain to them. She will be talking about how she is going to avenge her father's death and make things right, but underneath you will hear something completely different. You know, it's what's so cool for me about this music. You do get two stories at once, so you have to be on your toes constantly or you miss it.
Maestro Yannick Nezet-Séguin marvels at the role that each of the orchestra's 99 instruments plays.
There is nothing better orchestrated. For example, the Wagner Tuben, when they come in, it just changes the darkness of the color right away. We have a bass trumpet, we have a bass oboe, we have all of these strange animals, but they just add to the unbeatable power of this music. With all the forte pianos, the sforzato, the pianissimo here and the fortissimo there, there's rarely ever a time where you need to ask the orchestra, please don't play too loud. If you really do the score, it's crystal clear. Doesn't mean it's easy.
Yannick Nezet-Séguin and Christine Gerke, the conductor and star of today's performance of Strauss's Elektra. I'm Mary Jo Heath with commentator Ira Siff. In the early 1900s, after achieving fame with his orchestral tone poems, Richard Strauss turned to opera. And how? Ira, Elektra packs such a punch in 1 hour, or actually under 2 hours, in only one act.
Yes, it's a startling blend of powerful vocal and orchestral statement, dissonance and lyricism, all in the service of a hair-raising story. The librettist, the brilliant Ugo von Hofmannsthal, was very interested in Freud, and the opera delves into the psychological underpinnings of this Greek tragedy. It brings out the intricacies of the family dynamics and the cyclical nature of violence and revenge.
Yes, the backstory is that years earlier, King Agamemnon of Mycenae sacrificed a daughter to the gods. His wife, Clytemnestra, took revenge by murdering him with the help of her lover. Their surviving children were traumatized. Their son, Orest, fled. But their daughters, Elektra and Chrysotomus, became prisoners of the palace. And Elektra lives for the day Orest will return and avenge his father by killing Clytemnestra.
The day Agamemnon looms over this opera, we'll hear his thunderous motif as in the orchestra at the beginning and at the end of it.
Right, so let's talk through the story and the music. As the opera begins, the maids of the palace discuss Elektra's wild, hostile behavior. Once she's alone, there's a gripping monologue as she relives the memory of her father's murder.
And this feels like a ritual that has never lost its potency. Vocally, this monologue demands everything from the soprano. Long lines, huge explosive phrases, guttural Sprechstimme, which is speech-like singing, and a big high C.
Yeah, she fantasizes about the day of revenge when she will dance in celebration. But she's interrupted by her sister, Chrysotomus, who begs her to let go of her obsession. Their mother will never let them leave out of fear of what Electra might do. And Chrysotomus longs to lead a normal life, marriage, children.
Well, Chrysotomus's monologue revels in those high-lying, soaring phrases that Strauss loved to create. They have a radiance that makes for a striking contrast to Electra's music.
Yeah, but the music turns menacing as their mother approaches. Chrysotomus cowers in terror, while Electra holds her ground.
And the extended confrontation between Electra and Clytemnestra is a high point of the opera. Although Clytemnestra is abusive to Electra, she's also afraid of her. And we sense how unsettled she is in the way her music wanders from key to key.
Yeah, she lives in guilt and fear of retribution, unable to sleep, tortured by nightmares. Electra leads her to believe there's some special blood sacrifice that will cure her, and then ends by screaming that it is Clytemnestra's own blood that must be shed. But Clytemnestra leaves abruptly after a servant whispers some news to her, and Chrysotomus then breaks it to Electra. Orest has died. Electra reels, but then decides she must enlist her sister's help with the murder instead.
And this sounds like a seduction duet, Electra's music turning lyrical as she compliments Chrysothemis' beauty and her strength, and she paints a rosy picture of the happy future they could have. When Chrysothemis refuses, Electra turns on her, cursing her.
And so she resolves to do the deed by herself, using the axe that was used to kill her father. In the meantime, a stranger has arrived, and he confirms the news of Orest's death. Witnessing her despair, he realizes that this broken creature is Electra. He secretly informs her that her brother is actually still alive. As the old servants of the house recognize this stranger, she finally comes to understand this is Orest.
There's a shattering crash in the orchestra as if all the misery and hatred within her has burst apart. And now a flood of tenderness flows out of her. She's humble, loving, she's embarrassed at what she's become. And the music is so gentle, such a contrast to everything that's preceded
it. Yeah, it's really moving right there. Orest has come to do his duty, though it fills him with horror. And Electra exults as he enters the palace to kill Clytemnestra. She frets that she forgot to provide him with the axe until a scream is heard. And Electra knows the deed is done. Then Clytemnestra's husband, Aegisth, comes home. He's surprised by Electra's extravagantly gracious welcome. She even lights his way to the palace. His death is swift and brutal. And finally, the time has come for Electra to do what she's always pictured, dance for joy.
It was the librettist's idea to have the opera culminate in this wordless scenario. Strauss takes the melody from Electra's opening monologue when she imagined this moment. It's a triumphant waltz which grows increasingly frantic.
Yeah, and then it comes to an abrupt halt. And in our staging, instead of collapsing in death, Electra goes suddenly still. She's drained of all will and energy.
The Agamemnon motif is heard one final time. Chrysothemis calls out to her brother, and the orchestra ends the opera in a joltingly triumphant C major.
Right. Well, this performance of Electra is dedicated to the memory of Jacqueline de Maurais, the extraordinary and generous French-Canadian philanthropist who was a longtime board member of the Metropolitan Opera. We will hear, in order of vocal appearance, the serving women are Ticina Vaughan, making her network broadcast debut, Maya Layani, Andrea Hill, Kelly K. Hogan, and Lisa Gwynn Dalteris, also in her network broadcast debut. The overseer of the servants is Susan Neves. Christine Gerke is Electra. Elsa Vandenhaver is Chrysotomus. And Michaela Schuster makes her network broadcast debut as Clytemnestra. The confidant is Susan Neves, the train bearer Andrea Hill, a young servant, Scott Scully, and an old servant, James Courtney. Mikhail Petrenko is Orest, Kevin Short is Orest's guardian, and J. Hunter Morris is Aegist. Our concertmaster is David Chan, and Yannick Nezet-Séguin conducts the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and Chorus. Now, there will be no formal conductor entrance. There isn't one for this production. Instead, once the orchestra finishes tuning, the opera house will go completely dark, and there is some action on stage, which begins before the music does, and I will describe that as it happens. The house has gone black now, and the curtain is going up. We are in the austere courtyard of the palace that's enclosed by high walls of pale stucco. Upstage, we see a large arch alcove on a platform with steps leading up to it, and the entrance to the palace is through there. Right now, servants are going through the dreary morning routines of this household, and you can already hear the rhythmic sounds of a maid sweeping the steps. Other maids come on carrying buckets, and they sprinkle water on the ground, attempting to keep the dust down in this very arid place. Everyone is dressed drably in modern yet timeless clothing. And soon we'll see the overseer. She'll walk across the courtyard with a very large ring of keys. She'll unlock a side door through which yet more servants will arrive. And then Electra will scurry in among them. She's disheveled, her hair is matted. She's going to be clutching blankets. It's clear that she has slept somewhere else on the palace grounds. And when the music begins, the first words we're going to hear will be from a maid who will ask, "Where is Electra?"
Yeah. so scheinen Dämon, freien Haus und Hof, sein Wesen treiben der Mein Kind, ich hielt auf, ich nur ein Wort, sie unter Schloss und Riegel.
Sind sie dir in Paar, genug mit ihr, sind zwar ihr nicht genug mit Essen zu den Hunden. Hast du den Herr, wie sie schon loben sind?
Ooh! Thank you. Oh, Günther, war Oh, Just kidding! Zu reden, habe ich dir verboten.
So hast du Furcht von den Jähren. Was das Wort hat, und sieht das Jahr dich von Schwarzsinnigen. Nee, es heißt, er schlammend lebt im Ofen an den Hunden und weiß nicht Mensch und Tier zu unterscheiden. Das Kind war ganz gesund. Es heißt, sie gab ihm schlechte Wohnung und Tiere des Hofes zu Gesetze. Ja, viel Gold und wenig Gold, sie sollen gut halten, wie ein kühnes Gelöst.
Thank you. im Blut, das Tuch und Rüssel fragen, der Schmarrn von der Todes Netze über dich.
Yeah! Ihr und auch von ihm ganz von den Zehn. Was ist geschehen? elender Mensch. Was treibst du dich zur dunklen Stunde hierher? Belauscht das andere tun, ich hab hier ein Geschäft. Was kümmert's dich? Lass mich in
Thank you. beschmutzt, erniedrigt. Verstehst du, Bruder? Ich habe alles, was ich darf, in jedem Nützen. Meine Scham habe ich nun fort, die Schuld, die Süß, als
thank you. Liste, Liste, ist niemand hat zu leuchten, ritt sich keine von allen, die den suchten, kann das Volk keine Zut annehmen. Was ist das für ein unheimliches Weib? Ich hab verboten, dass ein Unbekanntes Gesicht mir in die Nähe kommt. Hast du mir, heißt ich dir entgegentreten?
Darf ich nicht leuchten?
Nun, dies geht die Neuigkeit ja doch fallen an. Wo find ich die fremden Männer, die was von der Rest uns melden?
With her father's death finally avenged, the desire that fueled Elektra's life is now spent, and now the curtain is right back up on our entire cast standing on stage. We've just heard Richard Strauss's Elektra live from the Metropolitan Opera, and that fantastic and creepy C major chord It's like, whoa, what's that all about? And the Agamemnon motive that was at the beginning and the end.
Yes.
He looms over the whole thing, even though he's dead before the opera starts.
Oh. That chord at the end is really just a blazing triumph of her revenge, and it's spectacular.
Yes, it is. And now we have our six choral maids and our supers out on stage together. They did a lot of running around in the courtyard, picking up things, wandering around, gathering things, being part of the fabric of the other maids that we're going to have join us in a minute. The people of the court, but all kind of in just sort of drab, timeless, modern clothing. And here is our guardian, Kevin Short, the young servant, Scott Scully, and James Courtney, the old servant. He has the highest number of performances of any active artist on our roster, over 1,900.
Wow.
Jim Courtney is still going. And here's our overseer, Susan Neves, and our solo maids, Tichina Vaughn, who was a member of our Young Artist Program long ago, last year here in 1992, lives in Germany and sings there mostly, Maya Liani, Andrea Hill, Kelly K. Hogan, and Lisa Gwynn Dalteris. This is her Met debut role. Solo bass now, Susan Neves, Tichina Vaughn, Maya Liani, Andrea Hill, Kelly K. Hogan, we've heard her as a Valkyrie a time or two, and Lisa Gwynn Dalteris. All together. Because they are on stage the entire time.
Yes.
Often in this opera, the singing maids are on for the first 10 minutes and they're gone. But they're part of the palace fabric. Here's J. Hunter Morris, tenor from Paris, Texas. Remember, he was Siegfried in our Ring cycle a few seasons back. Mikhail Petrenko, Arrest, based from St. Petersburg, Russia. This is his 12th Met role. We've heard him as Mozart's Figaro, as Don Basilio, as Bluebeard, as Galitzky in Prince Igor. Remember that one?
Yes, indeed.
And next, here's our Clytemnestra, Michaela Schuster, German mezzo-soprano. This is her debut role and season at the Met. She sings all over Europe, roles like Sieglinde, Brangäne, Venus, Kundry. And here's our Chrysotomus, Elsa Vandenhaver, South African soprano, who we've heard here in Donizetti as Queen Elizabeth.
And Mozart, right?
Mozart, Elektra in Idomeneo. So this is Strauss. This is different.
Yes.
She'll be back to Mozart next season. She's going to be Vitalia in La Clemenza di Tito by Mozart. And here's Christine Gerpe. Soprano from Long Island, our homegrown product. She was in the Lindemann Young Artist Development Program and made her debut in 1995. and is these days one of the leading dramatic sopranos in the world, and she is down blowing a big kiss to the Met Orchestra. And next season, folks, the Ring Cycle comes back by Wagner, and she's our Brunhilde. Can't wait. And now she's joined hands with her entire cast and all of the maids and singers behind her, taking a big bow. And now, here they come one more time. Big bow for the entire cast. And now Christine Gerke is going to go get Maestro Yannick Nezet again. And first she bows to him and he bows right back at her, and then they share a big hug. He's turning around blowing kisses to them, and now he's at the front of the stage. Oh, and he gets flowers thrown up from the orchestra pit. How about that? He's asking the orchestra to rise. As you know, he's our music director designate. He will take over as music director in the fall, shaking hands with our prompter. Just finished Parsifal with us, now doing Elektra. And I remember what he said to me in an interview, Ira. Parsifal couldn't be any shorter, and Elektra couldn't be any longer. They're both perfect for what they are.
Proportionally, absolutely. Yep.
And here they come one more time, led by our maestro. I like this thing. They bend over and then sort of make a little fake run to the front of the stage as if they're going to vault into the pit. There they go. And now they're asking for some solo bows again. Our servants and maids. Here's J. Hunter Morris, Agist. Mikhail Petrenko, Orest. Michaela Schuster, Clytemnestra. Elza Vandenhaver, Chrysotomus. Christine Gerke, Elektra. And Maestro Yannick Nezet again. And here they come running forward one more time. We're listening to Elektra by Richard Strauss with a libretto by Hugo von Hofmannsthal, adapted from his play after Sophocles' Elektra. This production is by Patrice Chéreau, sets are by Richard Peduzzi, and costumes are by Caroline de Vives. The lighting is by Dominique Ruggiere, and the revival stage director is Peter McClintock. And the maestro is kissing the hands of his artists in a lovely gesture. And now the curtain comes down. This production is a gift of Robert L. Turner. Additional funding was received from the National Endowment for the Arts. Elektra is a co-production of the Metropolitan Opera, Teatro alla Scala Milan, the Festival d'Aix-en-Provence, the Finnish National Opera, the Staatsoper Unter den Linden in Berlin, and the Grand Teatro del Liceu in Barcelona. Chorus master is Donald Palumbo, with musical preparation by Paul Nadler, Robert Morrison, Karen Levine, and Brian Waghorn. The assistant stage director is Jay Knighton-Smith, and the prompter is Karen Levine, who got her hand shaken by the maestro. The German diction coach is Mariana Barrett, and the stage manager is Raymond Menard. The music producer for this Metropolitan Opera broadcast is J. David Sachs, and the operations director is John Kurzweil. Ed Hartley and Robert Hewitt are the broadcast engineers. Our senior radio producer and editor is Ellen Keel. The show producer is John Bischoff. The producer is William Berger. And the associate producer is Lee Ellen Vim, with production assistance from Yolanda Williams, Michael Griebel, and Geza Kudlak. The broadcast stage manager is Lori Squire. The executive producers are Mia Bongiovanni and Elena Park. The Metropolitan Opera's music director designate is Yannick Nezet-Séguin. And the general manager is Peter Gelb.
And thank you to our American colleagues Mary Jo Heath and Ira Siff. The Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is supported by Toll Brothers, the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and broadcast here through an arrangement with the European Broadcasting Union. Next week's Opera on Three is a performance of Debussy's Pelléas et Mélisande as part of Debussy's Paris, commemorating the 100th anniversary of the composer's death. Join Tom Service for that next week at the usual time of 6:30.
The InTune mixtape. Escape with an eclectic selection of music every weeknight. InTune mixtape, nothing but the music. Weeknights at 7 on BBC Radio 3.
Very highly recommended. Good evening, I'm Chris Barrow. Later at 10 o'clock, Robert Warby presents Here and Now, focusing on the music of the American theorist and pioneering experimentalist James Tenney. Next, though, we're looking ahead to Monday afternoon concert, which features performances from the Ulster Orchestra. Penny Gore showcases their recent recordings featuring music from Grieg, Nielsen and Debussy. Now, this is Holst's Elegy, the second movement of the Cotswold Symphony, performed by the Ulster Orchestra, conducted by Joanne Folletta.
Thank you.
Joanne Ferletta, conducting the Ulster Orchestra in Holst's Elegy, the second movement of his Cotswold Symphony. And Monday's afternoon concert featuring the Ulster Orchestra begins at 2 o'clock.